Get ready for another life-changing, paradigm-shifting, faith-building word from our senior pastor, Jaron C. O'Neill, here at Fountain of Love Christian Center. We know that God will transform your life as you hear and apply His word. So let's tune into the message, already in progress.
We've been on a series called The Reset, where God is teaching us how to restore, how to get redemption, and how to get restoration in every area of our life. And we've been having a powerful time. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the power of our imagination. And what we're talking about, I know that's a major secular teaching, but the enemy does not have a lock on the imagination. It started with the Lord, and He used Abraham's imagination to stir his faith. We've been talking about how the imagination is literally the eyes of your faith, where God begins to show you a picture of what He wants you to do. Last week, we talked about how sometimes our imagination, when it's used improperly, will show us corrupted pictures. That was last week's message called Corrupted Pictures, powerful teaching. Go back and check it out right here on this page or right on my website. And we begin to talk about the importance of seeing the right thing. Amen. And we talked in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, where it talks about how we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is not an alternative. Or what we were saying is that most people think faith is blind, but faith is not blind. Faith has its own set of eyes. Your faith has its own set of eyes. So you can choose to walk by the eyes of faith or choose to walk by sight. It does not mean when we walk by faith, not by sight, that you don't see anything. No, faith shows you a picture. Amen. And God uses your imagination to show you what He plans to do. And we talked about the difference between hearing faith and seeing faith. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. So the only way to get your faith is to build your faith through hearing the Word of God, sitting under the Word of God, being taught the Word of God, to believe that you can do what He said you can do, whether it's about healing, whether it's about prosperity, whether it's about your marriage, whether it's about your family, your relationship, your career, whatever it is that you need, we use our faith for that. So we have to hear the Word of God concerning the matters of our life. Then we begin to believe. But once we begin to believe, God takes it to another level and begins to show you, open up the eyes of your faith, that you can see what you've been hearing. And many of us, we're living only by hearing faith and not allowing God to show us. Why? Because many of our eyes have been closed. Many of us have lost our sight. Our imagination has been tainted, it has been defiled, or it has been limited and stifled by things that have happened to us. People that taught us the wrong lessons or failures that we've had, setbacks that we've had, that has stopped us from dreaming, stopped us from believing God. And we've lost our eyesight, so we're limited only to hearing the Word of God, but we don't get to see what God wants to do in our life. And I believe that this teaching was to help you to gain your eyesight back, to preach recovery of sight to the blind. We talked about the five anointings of Jesus, and one of them was to preach recovery of sight to the blind, so you can be, your eyes can be taught open. Hallelujah. I feel my help already. And so we're going to get your eyesight back. I want to stir your imagination. And there's some things I want to get to you today. We talked about the limited imagination and the defiled imagination. And we talked about how our imagination is connected to our heart. So if you corrupt the heart, you will defile the pictures that it shows you. Amen? The heart is the well of the imagination, and if you corrupt the heart, if you defile the heart, you will corrupt the pictures that it shows. And we begin to talk about how some of us begin to get some corrupted pictures in our youth. The scripture says in Jeremiah 18:12 that the imagination is corrupted or defiled from our youth. And we found out that youth means our juvenile stage, not infancy. We're born into sin, but the imagination is not corrupted until we're youth. And if you think about it, that's when we begin to get a hold of things, to be introduced to certain things. We begin to be told certain things by cousins and, you know, friends and things we watch on TV, and it begins to corrupt our imagination. And if we are not watchful of what enters our heart, we will become defiled. We got to watch what comes into our heart. And this is why the Bible says we're to guard our heart. Let's look at that scripture real quick. Proverbs 4 and 23, if you'll turn there. I want to open up with this scripture, and then we will continue to move forward. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Out of it springs the issues of life. That word issues is really the Hebrew word for outgoings, and that's why in the Bible, in the New King James Version, it says springs, because it's really referring to the picture of like water. In other words, guard your heart because it is the source of the streams of your life. Everything that comes out of you comes from the heart. It springs forth. So it says keep your heart with all diligence. But when you look up the word keep and you look up the word diligence, both of them mean guard. Both of them mean watch. Both of them means to protect. So it's literally saying keep a double protection on your heart, because out of it are the springs that will come from your life. It is a water source. It is the well of the imagination. So catch this, there's a stream from the heart to your head. There's a stream from your heart to your head. Key point here, your heart requires a double watch. Now, on Wednesday nights, just before Prophet started speaking, I was teaching about the watches. I was talking about the watches, which are prayer watches. And so if we're to keep a double watch on our heart, you've got to be prayerful and mindful and spiritually alert of what is entering into your heart, because whatever comes in your heart is coming out in your stream. And if you don't want poisonous streams to your head, you've got to keep a double watch. And in this day and time, because they are subtly putting things on TV shows and music and what have you, you've got to be prayerfully alert, because on the surface it could look clean and harmless, but underneath there is a deceiving spirit that is trying to seep into your heart and poison your water stream, and you're wondering why you can't see things with the eyes of faith, things that are attacking the word that I've put in your heart. I studied diligently to put a solid word in your heart, but the enemy will come and he will try to attack that word through things that you're watching. And so you have to keep a double watch on your heart. Amen. It will impact your thoughts and your imagination. Are you with me? And this is when, as we talked last week, our imagination will begin to run wild. You know, it'll begin to run wild. You start having wild dreams, wet dreams. Come on. False dreams, false visions. Are you listening to me? Things that do not belong in your heart and your head, corrupting your eyes of faith. And so, last week I began to talk to my children. They all came in after the message and they were like, Dad, that was a great message. That was a great message. And so I always have a teaching with them after the message, because I ask them, what did you get out of the message? That's the question I always have. What did you get out of it? What did you learn? And so they'll go through it. And I said, now that you begin to understand the imagination, I had to tell them, now you understand why there were certain TV shows Dad wouldn't let you watch, certain toys he wouldn't let you play with, certain music he wouldn't let you play with. Because my kids, they'll tell you, I frustrated the heck out of them in time. They're like, you can't watch that. Well, why can't I watch that? You just trust me, you can't watch that. This has this in it, and this has this in it. Oh, well, it's just a TV show, or it's just a movie, or it's just a song. Well, we had to have a lot of just a song conversations over time. But as they got older, and now they're at a place where they're beginning to understand, I said, you remember when we were at this movie, and they put a bunch of kids in the movie to make you think it was for kids, but then we got there and found out it wasn't for kids at all. And we got up and walked out of the movie, and Jasmine, she would be mad. Why do we have to leave the movie? We came here. I said, nope, What was I doing? I was protecting their heart before they knew how to protect it themselves. Because I understand that if I let this get in their heart, it's going to get in their imagination. And once it's in their imagination, it's coming out. Are you listening to me? And here's the thing, I had to be careful what I set before my children, because the Lord, listen, is going to hold us parents accountable for what we set before them. I can't protect them from everything, but I don't want to put a stumbling block before them. And some of these parents out here are letting your kids watch and listen to everything. You're letting your kids listen to R&B music and all these different types of things, but it is a proven fact that children that listen to sexually explicit lyrics on a regular basis have sex early. Statistically proven. You cannot sit there and watch TV and have things that have an undercurrent of sexual things or alternative lifestyles and think that it's not going to impact your child, and wonder why their tolerance level is so high for sin. wondering why they're not offended by the things that offend God. You should be offended by the things that offend God. Newsflash, you should be offended by things that come against the word of God. If you're not offended, you have not kept the appropriate watch upon your heart. And listen to me, I was protecting their imagination. In other words, I was protecting their faith, because their imagination is the eyes of their faith. And here's the thing, if I've got wrong things in the water stream, I'll wonder why my children can't reach a certain level, because why? I have set things before them or allowed things in my home that are fighting against their faith. And so I had to be willing to be unpopular and falsely accused in order to protect my children's faith. Now, whatever they get a hold of on their own, they did it on their own. But it wasn't allowed in my house. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I just put a pin right there? It's a lot of folks talking about God first. Oh, God first. Keep God first. Keep God first. No, no, no. Keep God first is not an Instagram bio. Keep God first is what you do and what you talk about, how you dress, what you wear, what you go, what you listen to. Are you listening to me? God first sounds good on stage. It sounds good when you get your trophy. It sounds good when you get your award. But God first is a lifestyle in everything that you do. You can't be God first and do whatever you want to do. Let me keep pushing. Let me go on and do this here. Matthew 5 and 19. Let's keep going, because I got some things to get to you today. It says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. You see that there? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Where? From the heart. It proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. So what is it saying here? This is just proving what we've been talking about. Those evil thoughts came from your heart. Those evil things came from your heart. If you've ever been impacted by any of these things, murder, adultery, fornication, stealing, and when we see thefts, we think about, oh, breaking in and all that. No, no, no. That's cheating on your time card, too. It's cheating on your taxes. That's getting too much change back and driving off. That's them forgetting to charge you and you drove off anyway, because you knew that you owed them money. That's thefts. That's happened to me where, you know, they forgot to charge me and I said, oh, I got to go back and pay them. And my wife was like, man, that's a blessing. I said, no, I'm saved. I'm saved. She said, why you got to call me? Well, you know, my wife, she's from a project. So, you know what I'm saying? She cold peace with it. She said, but what was I doing? I was saying, I am saved. I'm not going to open the door at all for the enemy. And if I go back and they say, you know what, sir, don't worry about it, then I'm going to let them do it. But I can't do anything. Come on, because integrity is in the unsupervised areas of your life. It's not always when people are not looking or when people are looking. It's when people are not looking. So here's the thing. I have to protect my heart. I got to make sure, because I notice that sin likes to grow up. So it starts with a little leaven, and then that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So it's those little areas, family. Please listen to me. Key point here, though, stop blaming the devil for what's in your heart. We like to blame the devil. Oh, is the devil did this and the devil. No, out of your heart proceeds evil thoughts. That crazy thought that you have and that crazy imagination you have, those wicked devices and strategies that you're coming up with, that came from your heart. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. So we got to stop blaming the devil for what's in our heart. We're to keep a double watch, all right? So when this happens, you didn't diligently keep your heart. You thought because you were grown, it was okay to put confidence in your flesh. Oh, let me pause there for a second. There's an epidemic of I'm grown. You know, one of my kids try to tell me that. I'm grown. Well, just because you're grown doesn't mean it's okay to put confidence in your flesh. Because, see, we had certain rules when we were kids. You know, when we were kids, we couldn't have girls in our bedroom. Hello. We couldn't have girls in our bedroom. We couldn't have, you know, certain people in our bedroom. And then when folks did come around our bedroom, they couldn't be laying on the bed and stuff like that. Right. And then, you know, now they got FaceTime and your daughter, your son is in the bed on FaceTime, half dressed, talking to the opposite sex. And that's a setup. I'm trying to let you know, because they wouldn't be half dressed if they were over, but now you're on video chat. Folks are over your house that are not in your house. Let me say that again. With FaceTime, people are over your house without being in your house. They're in your daughter's bedroom. Come on, they're over your daughter's bedroom without being in it. But they can see all the same stuff. Are you listening to me? And here's the thing. When we get older, we think, oh, you know, people can stay over my house 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night because I'm grown. But the reality is just because you're grown does not mean it's okay to put confidence in your flesh, because flesh is still flesh. Right? And I was talking to Apostle Steve. We were talking, and he said something so powerful to me. One of the things he said, he says, grown is not the ability to do what you want. He says, grown is the ability to deny yourself when you can do what you want. Let it settle. So powerful. In other words, a lot of people cannot handle the test of access. See, some of us are saved because we can't get to it. Mm-hmm. But can you still walk saved when you can get to it? When you can buy it, when you can go there, when you do have your own apartment, when you do have a car and can go wherever you want to go, when you finally do have the money. Because many, we didn't get the magazine or the subscription because we didn't have the money. But now you got the money. Yeah. Ain't nobody at your house. You can buy what you want, look at what you want. Nobody will know except the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? So the reality is, just because you're grown does not mean that boundaries go out the window. Grown folks need boundaries too. So just because it's on Netflix and you own that Netflix and you grown doesn't mean that you should watch it. Can you still deny yourself when you can do what you want? That's when you're grown. Let me help you out here, okay? So check this out. Jeremiah 18 and 12. We're talking about this imagination. We touched on this last week. It says, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices and we'll do... And will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart? The imagination of his evil heart. So again, this is telling us that the heart is the well of the imagination. But what I want to get to here is this word imagination here is different than the one that we have been looking at, which was yester. Yester is the place of conception, and it refers to the framework of our imagination, the intellectual framework, as we were talking about last week. But when it talks about the evil imagination, it's the word here, Sherry Ruth, okay? And it is the sense of twisted, a firm obstinacy, okay? And it doesn't just mean imagination, it means lust, right? So twisted, right? Perverted. And when you look at the root here, go to the next one, Sherar, it means to be hostile, only active participle and opponent, a hostile, and then you see it here defined in the King James Version as an enemy. So a twisted enemy. When your heart is evil, it turns the imagination into a twisted enemy. Key point here is don't let your imagination be turned into an enemy. Do not let your imagination be turned into your enemy. God gave it to you to help fulfill his purposes for your life. But if you do not protect your heart, your imagination will be turned into an enemy. It will work against you. And many of us have an enemy imagination that works against us. We want to do things for the Lord. We want to fulfill our purpose, but we keep getting corrupted pictures and our imagination is working against us. A defiled heart will restructure your intellectual framework. I'm going somewhere. Rock with your boy. I promise you. Listen, it will restructure your intellectual framework. Our original word for imagination, yester, and when we got to the root word, it means what? It means the framework. It means the shaping and the molding. So it literally will mold your imagination. But here's the thing. When it becomes an enemy, a twisted enemy, it gets turned. In other words, the wrong stuff in my heart, that's why we talk about protecting the heart, the wrong things in your heart will turn and twist your imagination. And instead of it working for you, it will begin to work against you. It's changing your framework. So instead of your imagination birthing what God has for you, it begins to abort the purposes of God. In other words, whatever God has planted in your heart, your imagination will cause you to miscarry. Are you listening to me? You have all these plans in your heart, but your mind is working against you. An enemy imagination aborts the purposes of God. And what's aborting the purposes of God? In other words, your imagination, makes you start thinking too small. Thinking too negative. Pessimistic thoughts. Negative thoughts. Limiting thoughts. Your creativity is limited. Your ingenuity is stifled. Writer's block. Can't come up with an idea. Can't even do your creative writing project. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's when your mind is beginning to work against you. Are you listening to me? See, when we follow God's word, when we obey him, he begins to unlock parts of our mind and our understanding that regular people don't have. There's one thing to have information and knowledge. It's another thing to have, the wisdom of God. There are some people who are intellectual and they're smart. But I'm not just smart. God gave me his wisdom. The wisdom of God is a spirit that sits on your mind that gives you insight, strategy, and intellect and understanding that the world doesn't have. That's worldly understanding. But God's creativity is a whole nother level, and an enemy imagination will fight the spirit of wisdom sitting on your mind. So people say, well, how did you do that? It's the wisdom of God. It's a grace. It's another level of the Holy Spirit that will sit and rest on you. And an enemy imagination will, again, limit your creativity and stifle your ingenuity. Instead of seeing yourself winning, you only see yourself sinning. You see yourself failing. That's what an enemy imagination will do. All you do is see yourself falling. Is your imagination working against you? It perverts the purposes of God by showing you corrupted pictures. An enemy imagination will only show you vain things. Vain things. Psalms 2:1. Let's look at this here. We touched on this. We'll go a little further. I'm doing good on time because I got to get to the meat of this. Psalms 2:1, we talked about this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain things? And this is when they were plotting against the Lord and God's people. But look here, in this word vain, we looked at this last week. It's the word reek, pronounced reek, spelled R-Y-Q, as you see. But it means simply emptiness or a worthless thing. Emptiness or a worthless thing. But I want to look at this word imagine here, which is different than the one that we just looked before. This imagine here is the word hagah, okay? And it's a primitive root. It means to murmur in pleasure or anger by implication to what? Ponder, all right? And it's defined in scripture as meditate, mourn, mutter, roar, soar. But look at what it says, to study, to talk, and to utter. So this imagination, when it says when the people imagine a vain thing, the imagination is a meditation, a rehearsal. In other words, to study, it's a type of talking. This imagination isn't just a picture. This imagination is the studying of it and talking about it. Now, I want you to catch this. Vain things is anything that will not produce the righteousness or the purposes of God. So it says the people were, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Vanity, catch this, is the meditation of heathens. Vanity is the meditation of heathens. If you see here on my slide here, when it talks about vain things or empty things, worthless things, you can think vanity, you can speak vanity, and you can see vanity. You can think vanity, you can speak vanity, and you can see vanity. You can actually see vain things, worthless, empty things that do not produce the righteousness or the purposes of God. The scripture talks about how there were some people that saw false visions, false dreams. They saw, in other words, they're seeing the wrong thing. They're seeing something that's worthless. Do you see yourself doing and going places, things that God didn't tell you to do, or going places God didn't tell you to go? There are people who have visions of seeing themselves with somebody that God don't want them with. Are you imagining a vain thing? Are you imagining something that's not going to help you fulfill the purposes and the plans of God? Are you listening to me? You got to stop thinking, talking, and doing things that do not produce the righteousness and the purpose of God. Are you listening to me? You got to stop talking, look, and looking at vain things. This will not produce anything but emptiness. Now, here's the thing about it. If I think worthless and produce worthless, guess what I start to feel? Worthless. If you never produce anything but worthless stuff, then you start feeling worthless. And worthless people do things that show they don't value themselves. Are you listening? Are you doing things that show you don't value yourself? I've found that many people that find themselves in a lot of sexual sin in particular, drugs and alcohol, they have a low self-worth. A lot of times it all points back to low self-worth, low self-esteem, and a low value. But if your mind is showing you the wrong pictures about yourself, it's because you've been meditating on vain things. The next time you catch yourself thinking about something that does not produce the righteousness of God, that does not please God, shut that thought down. You can change your thoughts. You can rebuke your thoughts. You can bring control over them under the word of God. It's time for you to reclaim your imagination for Christ. We talked about this. It's time for you to reclaim your imagination for Christ. We must reattach our imagination to our faith. Many of us have rogue imaginations that are no longer connected to our faith. Serving our base purposes. Serving our own appetites. Are you listening to me? Your faith and your intellectual framework work together. Let me say that again. Your faith and your intellectual framework are to work together. This is why I'm teaching this. I got to get you to connect your imagination back to your faith. And we can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have great faith, but we have a feeble mental framework. We have great faith, but a feeble mental framework. And our faith and our intellectual framework have to work together. In other words, your paradigm will limit your faith. Very good. You listening to me? Your paradigm will limit your faith. Some of us have heard the word of faith, but our framework can't handle what we heard. You better catch this. We heard the word of faith. We heard about what God can do in our life. We heard, I'm preaching a word that now extends the boundaries of what God is able to do, because we said, I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. I'm getting ready to soar. Well, that's a word of faith, right? And I'm teaching the word of faith about how to get, how to be restored, how to recover. But you got to make sure you have a framework that actually believes what you heard. Because sometimes our heart will grab something, our spirit will catch something, but we got a paradigm that's fighting against that word. Listen, some of our framework is only big enough to handle worthless, vain things. Catch this next key point. Your mind will shrink to the size of your meditation. Your mind will shrink to the size of your dominant meditation. If you think too low, your framework will eventually only fit your dominant meditation. This is where I'm trying to get to. So if I'm only looking at vain things, things that are worthless, if I'm only meditating on things that do not bring the purposes and the glory of God, my enemy imagination is causing my intellectual framework to shrink to what I've been thinking about. So now when I hear the word of faith, my heart grabbed it, my spirit grabbed it, but the framework of my mind will not expand to the size of the word I received. Are you listening to me? If your heart is the well of your imagination, then you have to protect your heart. This is why we're talking about keeping a double watch on your heart. Because if I put the wrong thing in my heart, there's a stream from my heart to my head. My head begins to imagine vain things and get corrupted pictures. And then my mind, my imagination, what I'm seeing in my mind, the eyes of my mind, listen to me, in my imagination, begin to shrink around what I've been thinking about. So I can only handle things on that level. If I hear a word or what have you that's different than that level, listen, my mind, my head, my framework is fighting against my faith. Stay with you, boy. We're almost there. So you got to put the word in your heart. Now we know that. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Yes. But the Lord said, you got to do more than just put my word in your heart. You got to put your mind on something major. You got to put the word in your heart and your mind on something major. In other words, you got to do something to restructure the framework of your mind. This is why God is always telling us what we are to meditate on. What we are to meditate on. Let's look at this scripture, Philippians 4:8. It says this, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything, what does that word say? Praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. One more time. If whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, somebody say praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Verse 9 says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, this is what Paul is telling his church, whatever you saw me do, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now let's look at this. We've read this story, this passage before, and Paul is saying that God is letting us know, I want you to think on these things. And he lists the types of things that we are to meditate on. Now, I just said to you before, we got to put the word in our heart, but we got to put our mind on something major. The Bible says here that one of the things that God wants us to meditate on are things of a good report and things that are praiseworthy. In other words, God wants you to experience something that is great and it's praiseworthy, it's notable, it's remarkable, and I want you to put your mind on it. I want you to put your mind on great experiences. So you have to witness praiseworthy things. Oh, I feel the help of the Lord. You have to witness praiseworthy things. David understood this, and King David did this. I want you to catch this. 1 Chronicles 29:16, last scripture. I just want to show you something because we've been talking about this enemy imagination that's working against you, that is shrinking the framework of your mind, causing you to meditate only on low things because our imagination has been restructured. But we've been talking about getting our eyes back. Now, we know we got to protect the well of our heart. We know we have to get the word in our heart, but we got to put our mind on something major. We need to meditate on something praiseworthy. Look at what David says here in 1 Chronicles 29:16. And let me set this up for you. What was happening here is David had just raised a major offering to build the temple. He raised billions of dollars, not only from his giving and the nobles giving and the elders giving, but also the people giving. They had never done anything like this before. They had raised money during the tabernacle, but this was billions of dollars. And this was done publicly. Now, I've read this before, but I saw something this time, and I want you to hear David's prayer. He said, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name and cometh of thine hand. And notice he says, all this store, that means the offering. All that we've stored up, okay? All this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Look what it says, verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in upright righteousness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, referring to his offering. And then he says, and now have I seen with joy your people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. In other words, all the people are here to give this offering. But look at what he says in 18. O Lord God Abraham, of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee. One more time. Keep this. Keep what? This major praiseworthy event where we, your people who came from slavery, who came out of the wilderness, now to be one of the greatest nations in the history of the world, have now raised billions of dollars to build you a temple for your glory. Put this moment in their imagination and prepare, or other words, restructure their framework of their mind to comprehend, to be able to contain the capacity of this moment. I need you to put this in their imagination. So when King David wanted to shift the paradigm of his people, he did something praiseworthy in front of them so they could meditate on this moment. So anytime they ever felt small in the future, anytime they felt that God couldn't do it in the future, in their imagination was a moment, wait, hold on. I can do it because I saw this happen. I hope you're catching this. After he did it, David asked God to put it in their imagination. In other words, put it in their conception. I need you to change, shape this in their mind so that they will be able to fulfill what you have told them to do. In other words, key point here, King David gave the people something to dream about. You've got to look at a leader that stretches your framework. Now, the praise team had no idea what I was teaching today, but they said, I'm getting ready to overflow because I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. I'm getting ready to soar because I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. A great leader will shift your intellectual framework. Every leader worth his salt should give you a vision that stirs your imagination. My job is not just to build your faith, but to employ your faith. Listen to me. It's my 14-year anniversary. Can I just talk to you for a second on what we just read? Because all this time, these last 14 years, what I have been trying to do is put something in your imagination. So there were certain things that I did on purpose to stretch your mind. Let me go on and close this. Do you remember when we sold our back building back in 2010? I remember when the board had told me, listen, your dad just bought this. Your dad just bought this. Why would we sell it? I said, because the Lord told me to sell it. He's given me a strategy to cause us to quantum leap. I know you can't see what I'm seeing, but let me give you the vision, because nobody else here, listen, y'all loved him, but you don't have the vision. I got the vision. He showed it to me. And where we are right now is not our ultimate purpose. We have not arrived. We haven't even scratched the surface. Now, I was a young man and they were very seasoned people, but they believed their leader. And so I told them to sell it. We sold it and we broke the record in Pomona during a recession, mind you. We broke the record in Pomona for over $1.525 million when we bought it at $400,000. Immediately overnight, we became a million-dollar church. Are you listening to me? And here's the thing. I paid off the debts. We had the money to remodel the church. I remember this. We had the money to remodel the church because you remember, you know, we had the greed and the wood and all of that. And I wanted to update the church. This was at our old church. And I was like, oh, we can do that without raising money. And the Lord said, you will not do it without raising money. I said, well, Lord, we got the money. He says, I need you to put it in their imagination. He says, you cannot grow the church without growing the people's faith simultaneously. So you cannot do something that their faith does not participate in. I didn't understand the concept now. He says, because I need to raise them up. And if you raise this without their participation, then they will you will create an expectancy that pastor's going to do it and we don't participate. I didn't understand, but I obeyed the Lord. And y'all remember when we had our first Super Sunday? It was only $25,000. For those of you who don't know, our Super Sunday was our capital campaign. We were going to rebuild the nursery. And it was $25,000. And that was huge to us because that's where our framework was. But then when we raised $25,000, and God gave me the strategy on how to do it, when we raised the $25,000, everybody was like, oh my goodness. Wow, we raised $25,000, because back then a $7,000 offering was amazing. Are you listening to me? And when we raised the money, we rebuilt the nursery. The nursery was beautiful, right? Our children had a place to go. And God said, now put that in their imagination. We saw something praiseworthy. And then the next time when we got ready to remodel the whole church, God said, now raise the amount. I said, Lord, but this is beyond. He says, I need you to stretch them because many of them have $1 million dreams and $100,000 dreams. And if they can't do it for my kingdom, then how are they going to do it for themselves? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. He says, I need you to do something praiseworthy. So we did it. And then we raised $100,000. Y'all remember that? And we did it in one day. And we remodeled the whole church, even though we already had the money. This was about, listen, this was about your imagination. This was about God, listen, recreating your framework to change your mental paradigm of what God could do. And what happened when we did this, our level of faith, it went up. But you got to have somebody that gives you a vision. Listen, I'm building your faith, but I got to give you something to put your faith toward. Are you listening to me? I was raising the level of expectation. Now God has moved us into a much larger facility, and he did it in supernatural fashion. He did it supernaturally. And even when I was told to give up, when I was told by a pastor, he said, I don't know why you're trying to move to that big old church. Just stay where you are. It's easy. It's come on. He was trying to attack my imagination. He was trying to attack my eyes of faith. He wanted me to succumb to his intellectual framework. But God had already shown me a picture. And even when it looked bleak, when they kicked us out of escrow, when people told me I couldn't do it, which is why I didn't tell most people, and we had all kind of devils, supernatural and natural, come against us, I would not give up because what I saw wouldn't let me quit. And when we got the keys to this church, are you listening to me? Nobody thought somebody could move from a 220-seat facility to a 1,000-seat facility, let alone remodel it. And God did it again in supernatural fashion. And we walked in here on matter of fact, my pastoral anniversary in 2014, February 2014, we walked in this building and everybody was looking around. And I said to the Lord privately, put that in their imagination. Prepare their heart. So they know how to take territory. So they know how to take land. So they know how to get what God has for them. They got to get a getting person in front of them, a territory taker in front of them, so you can put it in their imagination. And we came in here and we lifted our hands, and some folks just came to look and see what we were doing. But other folks were praising God. We beheld something praiseworthy so we can meditate on it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then the Lord allowed us to remodel the place. And then do you remember the Future Center? A $1.5 million project that we got done for $1.3 million. Should have been a year-long project, but we got it done in a few months. Are you listening to me? And at the last second, they told us we need another $100,000 to close. And God, in one Sunday, raised another $80,000 from a person from another country who gave $60,000 in one, just joined the church and gave 60 grand. Who does that? But it was praiseworthy, and we did the grand opening of our futures. We had an empty warehouse in it, but we wanted a place for our young people. Notice it always kicks off with young people. The nursery, the Future Center, because God cares about this next generation, and we care about the next generation, training them in the Word of God and the things of God. But we did something praiseworthy again, and I said to the Lord, put it in their imagination. Let them participate in it. And we raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to the glory of God. Why? No, it's not all about money. But when David said it, it was an offering for a temple. There's something about wealth and prosperity that God wants to get into the hearts and minds of his people. And I know folks be like, oh, they always talk about money. Well, this is what David was talking about. He was talking about this money, this giving, this offering time. I need you to put it in their imagination. I'm in the Word. You tell me where I'm wrong. Because what we got to get a shift on is our financial end, because God wants us to do things and it costs money to do it. Shifting our paradigm. And we have to have what? Praiseworthy things. Now, let me tell you this. Now, when I say, hey, y'all, let's think about it. Those of you that have been in Fountain, when we have to do major projects, and I say, if I were to come to you and say, our next Super Sunday is $100,000, y'all would be looking around like, that's it? That's it. $100,000? Shoot, we do that in our sleep. Why do you think like that? Why is $100,000 that low to you now? Because the framework of your mind has stretched. You didn't seem too much at this point. We didn't see them do hundreds of thousands of dollars in an hour to the glory of God. Praiseworthy. We've already seen that. So why are you talking that low, Pastor? Think about it. What happened from $25,000 to $350,000 and $400,000? What happened? Our framework changed. Why? Because you've been meditating on something praiseworthy. And I'm here to tell you, God did it again. I got something praiseworthy to lay before you. I was like, Lord, when this whole pandemic thing shut down, I said, Lord, I didn't give the people a 5 to 7 year plan. And now we just got to try to get through this year. Lord, don't let the church close. He said, listen, you're going to do all of that. I just want to tell you that when this church blows up and I do all the things you asked me to do, I don't ever want you to think it was because you painted. I don't ever want you to think because you did a new stage or you did a sanctuary or a future center or bought some land. He said, no, no, no. I want you to sit right here with your Bible and an iPhone, and you're going to preach this word for a year with no band, come on, no lights, no building, all the things people think they need to have a successful church, and I don't ever want you to be confused that it was not because of my word. So for the first while, I just sat there and preached the word. And the Lord helped me to rise to the occasion. And he says, you're not just going to survive, you are going to quantum leap. And I said, remember I taught a word, I said, remember when Jesus stepped on the boat and immediately on the other side, and I said, God, he said, we're going to come back and immediately we're going to be on the other side. Now God has done some miraculous things. But remember I gave y'all a 5 to 7 year plan. I said, we were going to change the, you know, buy the land and we were going to redo the stage and we were going to have a TV ministry at some point and we were going to remodel the sanctuary and do the lobby and do the bathrooms and all those different things. And now here we are shut down. And he says, watch what I do. And I'm here to tell you that what we thought God was going to do in 7 years, he did in 7 months. Family is done. The stage is done. But not only is the stage done, everything is done. Everything is done without a Super Sunday. Now he stretched us with the Super Sunday. This time he stretched us without a Super Sunday. I got some things to put in your imagination when you come back. I got some things to show you to stretch and prepare your heart for what God is going to do in your life. But I had to put something praiseworthy before you. The entire church is remodeled, family. And we was trying to grand reopen last May, right, and surprise you and all that with the stage and what have you. And I said, Lord, but how are we going to do all the rest of this stuff? We had people coming here doing stuff for free. Listen. I've been holding it for a long time, but trust me, you ain't going to believe it till you see it. He did it in supernatural fashion. And he did it, listen to me, and we didn't have to break the bank. Matter of fact, Egypt paid for it. He said, I'm just like Solomon, I'm going to send pagans to pay for your stuff. Egypt paid for our remodel. And we don't owe a dime. Are you listening to me? We don't owe a dime.
Come on, sir.
Lord, put that in their imagination. Go and put this. The old folks used to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't want you to smoke it. I want him to put it in your imagination and prepare your heart that God will send your enemies to be at peace and pay for your stuff when you're doing what he called you to do. It's praiseworthy.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronceoneal.com. That's JarronceOneal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.